We're going to be in John chapter 12 this morning, beginning in verse 24. Truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. The story of Jesus is a beautiful story. We all love beautiful stories. Not all stories are not beautiful. I watched an ugly story the other day. I went out with the Carreras, actually. And we went to see the movie Hannah. And I picked the movie, actually, but it's about this 16-year-old girl who is raised in the Arctic Circle, and she's taught and by her father, or somebody who we think is her father anyway. She grows up to be 16, and then she's set out on a mission, and she's chased around the world by this crazed CIA agent who wants to capture her. She kills a bunch of people along the way, somewhere along the way, we find out she's this genetically engineered person, and she's genetically engineered to kill people. And so you kind of get the idea that she's this cold-blooded killer who goes around and has a man who she thinks is her father, who loves her and raised her and all that stuff. Now that in itself could be the beginning of a good story. I mean, you can kind of see that. I mean, if this were a good story, then Hannah would contemplate who she is. She'd be contemplating, who am I apart from the genetic makeup that has been programmed into me? And then she would probably, just because it's a movie, of course, kill this CIA agent anyway. And then she would lay down who she is genetically and go off with her father into the sunset and live happily ever after. Now, that would be a beautiful story. But if you've seen the movie, that is not the story that happens. The story that happens is actually she gets mad at her dad because he never told her that she was genetically engineered to be a killer, and he never told her that he wasn't her real biological father. And so they get in a big fist fight, and she storms off mad, and he goes off in another direction, and he ends up fighting and dying, trying to protect her, and she doesn't even care. And she ends up going off, and sorry, spoiler alert, she ends up going off, this crazed CIA agent is still following her, and in the end, she kills the CIA agent like she's an animal, and then it's over. And supposedly, she's off to go kill other people. You know, that is not a beautiful story. That's an ugly story. We like beautiful stories. Beautiful stories move us. Like Schindler's List was a beautiful story. Also a movie. It was a story set in the midst of the Holocaust, and a businessman comes up with a plan to save men and women and children from the Holocaust. And he starts taking his wealth and using it to buy people out of the concentration camps, to employ them in his factory. And he begins making up jobs for them, doing whatever it takes to save them. In the end, he saves 1,100 lives. To me, the most poignant part of the movie, at the end, he's standing there and he realizes he still has a ring on his finger. And he begins to weep. And he says, if I'd only sold this, I could have saved more. That is a beautiful story. I mean, that's a story that moves us. We need beautiful stories. We need stories with heroes. And we need people who take the suffering in the world and bring hope to it. We need people who take hurt and bring healing. We need people who sacrifice what they have for people who do not have anything. We need those stories. We like beautiful stories. Beautiful stories inspire us and move us forward. And they're important stories to us. How about this story? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When He created it, it was beautiful. There was light, there was sun, the moon, the stars. He created all of it. He created the oceans and the beaches and the mountains and the valleys. He created all of the animals that fill the world, the birds and the fish and the creepy crawly animals, the cattle, the sheep, the lions, the tigers, the bears, all of them. The pinnacle of His creation. The pinnacle of His creation were human beings, people. He created us in His image. Male and female, He created us. In the image of God, He created us. And God and humanity had beautiful times together. Times in the garden together. Times talking together. Spending time as one man spends time with a friend. As the lover and the beloved. It was indeed beautiful. But then, in one horrible moment, we whom God made as the pinnacle of His creation, we whom God made in His image, we whom God loves, decided that we would rather live life on our own than live it under His authority. And so, in an act of open rebellion, we drove a wedge between us and God, and we said, we will do as we please, and our actions will not please You. So God let us rebel. He let us go. He let us run from Him. He let us run because He loves us. And love, ultimately, is about freedom. But God would not simply leave us to run. God was always there to make sure that we knew that He loved us. There were times whenever we seemed to be looking for greater meaning in our lives. And God would nudge us and say, remember Me? There were times whenever we as a people started fashioning together gods of our own making. Because we wanted to know that we're not alone here. We wanted to know that there was someone greater than us. And He would say to us, I am. And when we were desperate, and when somehow in our desperation we remembered that there was a God out there, and we cried out in our desperation, in our suffering, He heard our cries, and He sent a deliverer for us. He would come, He would fight our enemies. He would come, He would be our protector. He would come, and even He Himself would lead us in a pillar of fire. And then, after a while, we would wander off again, and He would chase after us, because that's who He is. He would send prophets to call us back. But we were certain, we want to do things our way. We don't want Your help here. We took our rebellion very seriously. And as much as God pursued us, as fast as He came, we moved away faster. We forgot that it was He who created us. We forgot that it was He who delivered us. We forgot that it was God who loved us. And so we told Him in no uncertain terms, we do not want You around. And we absolutely broke His heart. When He would send prophets, we would kill them. We would worship other gods. We told Him in no uncertain terms, we don't even care if You exist. And so, after a while, God decided He would teach us a lesson. You know, we thought we were so tough, we thought we were so big, and we were so strong without Him, that God allowed the nations around us to come in, to sweep in, and to take what we had from us, to take us into captivity, carry us away, away from our homeland, away from anything that reminded him of him, reminded us of him. And so it became a wasteland. Now at some point, a little ways down the line, God said, you know, I'm going to bring you back. And so he put his hand on us and he moved us back into our land. He moved us back to the place where we were used to worship. But it was different. Something was different. Even though God brought us back from the exile, it was like he didn't come with us. It was like his glory never returned. And it was as if he gave up on us. And after a little while, he fell completely silent. Hundreds of years, we didn't hear anything from God. No prophets, no voices, no nothing. He just stopped pursuing us. Now, if the curtains were to fall on our story right here, if it were the end and the credits rolled, it would be an ugly story, wouldn't it? I mean, you have God who creates us, who loves us, and we ran away. And God comes after us, and we ran away. And God comes after us, and we ran away. And ultimately, you have God withdrawing from his people and saying, I'm done. That is an ugly story. That's not a beautiful story. But the story doesn't end there. God's not finished writing the story. He doesn't want the final word to your story to be rebellion. He had sent prophet after prophet. He'd sent angels. He'd sent deliverers. He'd done everything that he knew to do. But this time, he would step the game up even more. This time, God would take on flesh and blood, and he would come and live among his people. He would come as a human baby, Jesus. He was Emmanuel. He was God with us. He was born in the most undignified of ways. He was born to a mom who, because of the circumstances of his birth, everyone thought it was an illegitimate birth. But as he grew up along the way, he, in his childlike way, he would interject wisdom about God into conversations, and he amazed teachers of the law with his insights. And at the right time, about the age of 30, he began a public ministry where he called disciples to be to follow him. And he went from place to place telling people about God, telling them that God loves them. And he challenged the theology of those who thought they had it all figured out, who claimed to know God, and yet really their understanding of God was really something that they just used to control people. He controversially began telling people that God's people were more than just the good and the well-behaved and the religious people. And in fact, it's those religious people, they really don't want to have anything to do with the real God. And Jesus began to include people in the people of God. He began to love people that nobody else wanted to be around, people like tax collectors, prostitutes, homosexuals, sick and the poor, and the people who lived outside and on the fringe of society. He loved the people that were not the normal people of God. He loved them all. He healed our diseases. He comforted us in our sorrow. He raised our dead. He taught us about God. He gave us hope. Not too long into his ministry, it became obvious that it was not going to be a long ministry. Some people were just too committed to their own view of God to see God whenever he came. Some people were too owned by their own power to see him. And some people just flat out wanted to kill God. It was obvious this story was going to end violently. And so Jesus began to prepare his disciples. And Our text today is one of those times. He says, "Truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit." A single grain of wheat remains small until it dies. And then it produces the fruit it was meant to produce. And then it is not alone. Jesus was telling us, look, it's going to seem like here in just a little bit that this story is going to end at the wrong time. It's going to seem like it's going to end in the wrong way. But don't leave the theater yet, because the story's not over. So Jesus got together a few of his disciples, his closest friends. They were the ones who knew him and knew who he was. And he brought them together to celebrate the Passover. It was a religious meal where they celebrated the God who delivers them. And these are the people who are closest to him. They know he loves them. They love him. They know his mission. All of that stuff. And they've come together to celebrate this God who delivers. But there is one among them who, though he looks like he's one of them, he's not. He's already decided to betray Jesus. And he will sell him out for 30 pieces of silver. One of Jesus' friends has decided to turn him over to the authorities. And so the disciples, without Judas, go up to the Mount of Olives to pray. And while they're praying, Judas comes. And he leads the Roman soldiers. And he kisses Jesus. And they arrest God. This God who loved us that much. So much that he became one of us, is now finding out exactly who it is that we are. He sees that we are really committed to having things our way. We're very committed to our rebellion. And just like in the beginning, we rebelled. Just like in the wilderness, when we started worshiping other gods, just like whenever we killed the prophets, just like every other time God had reached out to us, we pushed him away and we told him, "We really don't want anything to do with you." So we brought Emmanuel, we brought God with us, we brought him to an open square, we stripped his clothes off of him, we strapped him to a post, and we beat him within an inch of his life. We put a crown of thorns on his head. We put a robe on him. We said, "You are Lord and King." And we laughed. And then we killed him. God was weak. Finally, we were going to rid ourselves of this God who loved us. Because, you see, I mean, he loved us, but he also loved the people we didn't think were very lovable. And he said things that really bugged us. And so finally, we were going to tell this God, "We're tired of you pursuing us. We don't want you to pursue us." And so we killed him. And we killed him in the most violent way that we could think of. We killed God. And he will not pursue us any longer. It was Friday. And we took this grain of wheat and we threw it aside. What value is a single grain of wheat? God came in his weakness and we crushed him. You have this ugly story. God who creates the people that he loves. The people run. God pursues. God withdraws, and eventually he decides, "I'm going to engage them, and I'm going to engage them at the deepest level possible." Whenever he pursued them, he pursued with everything in him. But whenever he chased after his beloved, the beloved did not hear the voice of her lover. And so she rejected him, and we killed God. He is dead. God lost. And we won. We actually lost because we were the ones who rejected the one who really loved us. And we rejected him in favor of a world that really doesn't love us. A world where everyone's out for his own good and no one really loves. And we thought that that was victory. But the story isn't over, is it? Because on Friday, we took what Jesus took what was, seems like the weakest of all possible moves, that Jesus allows himself to be captured and killed. That was Friday. And on Saturday, love is defeated. And on Sunday, when Sunday begins, death still reigns. The wheat is still lying there. But as the dawn begins to break, as the light begins to flood the horizon, something happens. The dead wheat germinates and sprouts, and life comes forth. And the one who was dead, Emmanuel, who was crucified and dead and buried, steps out of the tomb victorious. What looked like defeat was turned to victory. And this God, whose pursuit of his people, which was cut off by death, is back. And he's going to pursue us. This God who created us and loved us will not be stopped for pursuing his beloved. We have not gone so far that God will not pursue us anymore, that God will not bring us home. We cannot reject him so thoroughly that he will not keep coming. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And though you may strike him down on Friday, he will pursue you on Sunday. Because this God will not be put off. This God will not even be put off by death, because love is too powerful, even for death. He is not an easy God to deter. And one more thing. He is not alone anymore, because from his death, burial, and resurrection, millions and millions of people have embraced the risen Jesus. And millions of people have found that real life only comes on the other side of resurrection. That is a beautiful story. Jesus said, I'd say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. We are that fruit. Today, the hope of humanity is the fruit of the grain that fell to the ground that day. What looked like certain defeat, what looked like an ugly, violent tragedy, has turned into victory. And that is a beautiful story. That is a story that I love to hear. I can hear it over and over and over again, and I never tire of it. But you know what? There's more to the story than just that. Because it's not enough to hear the story. It's not enough to be moved by the story. We are invited into the story. We are called to participate in that beauty. You see, the story that I've told is a story from God's perspective, with this cosmic viewpoint. But if we look at it from our perspective, this is how it goes. We were created by a God who loved us. He pursued us. We rejected him. We made a real mess out of our lives. And we've come so far that it's like there's no turning back. You can't imagine going back. But still, God pursues us. Over and over and over, he pursues us. Even when we kill him, he continues to pursue us. And every time we run, if we look over our shoulder, he's right there. And so eventually, we have to stop. And when we do, we are confronted with the God who loves us, with Emmanuel. And he is right before us. And if we want, we can say to him, I want to follow you. But But Lord, I have done so much. I can't imagine that you want me. I've rejected you so many times. The things I've done, I'm ashamed of. I hate this path that I'm on, but I can't turn around. And this one who has so pursued us, this one who has felt the sting of our whip, the one who has borne the cross of our sin, this one simply takes us by the hand and says, "Follow me." He who loves his life loses it, he says. If we love this life of rebellion, if we want to continue on this ugly story that we have written, if we want, God will let us write this ugly story right to the end. And whenever we do, at the end of that, this life that we thought we had, this life that we thought we were writing into this, is over. And we lose it. But if we want a beautiful story, look at the text, verse 25. He says, "He who loves his life loses it. But he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal." In other words, if we hate what we have become, if we hate the path that we are on, if we hate this ugly story that we've been living, then we can die to that. If we let that part die, then we can have life eternal, life the way it was meant to be, life that is life of the beloved caught by the lover. I mean, listen to this beautiful story. Listen to what life can be like. He says, "If anyone serves me, then he must follow me. And where I am, my servant will be also." That's a story of love. That we will be with him. That is a beautiful story. That's resurrection. That what was dead now lives. Jesus was dead and resurrection makes him alive. We were dead, but resurrection makes us alive. The image of God created in us. However tarnished and broken we might make it, is recreated by the God who made us in the first place. And we who were dead now live. And that is resurrection. And I want that story to be my own. I want to write a beautiful story. That's resurrection.